consciousness is locked in certain realizations, certain improvements, certain refinements that these times brought out of us, and take them further. Now, just 2 days ago, there was a big blackout in Ramat Beit Shemesh Aleph. I probably imagine that affected most of the people here. For me, there was a certain significance to that, which once again, what was Hashem alluding to in 4 hours of darkness, 3/4 of which were not real darkness because night hadn't fallen yet? Oh, I'm going to explain the significance, the true significance of darkness, of Vein Hashmashos, etc. No. Let's do something again. Let's use the same tools that we've been discussing. One fundamental aspect of this whole period was appreciation of the fact that Hashem is the Balabayas and that we are not. And as we're moving back into a place of Baruch Hashem, we are regaining control of our, on our world. We hope. And we are reasserting ourselves. We had to submit to Hashem for a couple of months. But now we can start reasserting ourselves. And you know what? Ramat Beit Shemesh per se, Hashem came and said, one minute. As we're talking about all kinds of things going back to normal, let's knock the electricity out for 4 hours. During an intense heat wave. And that'll give you, again, a little bit of a reminder. You know, the electricity goes out, so the initial reaction is, okay, it's coming back on in a minute. These are things that are easily controlled. But then, you know what? We heard, I don't know if this is how everybody experienced it, but the way it was by us in our house, first we heard that it's going to be fixed at 5:30, and then after that we heard that it was going to be fixed at 8:30. At that point, I already said, if they're saying it's going to be fixed at 8:30, it'll be fixed by tomorrow morning, perhaps. And then, yeah, at 8:28, the lights went back on. Whatever the case is, we will not go wrong if we take it as, you know what, before you move on to back to normal life, remember, I can knock out your electricity also. I am the Balabais. Bear that in mind. Submit yourself to my authority. Don't lose that realization. Hold on to it. And here we come back to another point that we've been making time and time again throughout this very, very stormy year. This was a stormy year worldwide. But as we keep noting, it was an especially stormy year in our Kehila. In so many ways. And there was time after time when we were hit with major reasons to jump, to improve. Cheshbon HaNefesh. Beginning, of course, well, the year started with Yom Nayroim, and it started with Yom Nayroim without Rav Malinowitz, which was already something of a call. And then it moved on to his shocking Ptira. And then we went through illness in our Kehila. Baruch Hashem, we were zeichet to Sichas de Shamayim. And then we moved into this period of the Corona. And there kept on being a sense of his oirus, a sense of a wake-up call. And we kept on being faced with the challenge, and this is something we've been reiterating, and now is the time to reiterate it again, that the challenge is the understanding that afterwards, it's our job to hold on to the Yisoiris, to hold on to the wake-up, and not to let it go lost, not to let it float away. It will not naturally remain. There will not be an experience that will really completely change us forever, even though at the time it may seem like it will. Human nature is that we quickly grow accustomed to things, right? Aren't we hearing from all over the place now how it's hard to go back to shul? It's not as easy as we thought it was. It was very sad when we left shul, but people grew comfortable, etc. We grow accustomed, we get used to things, we settle back into our previous reality. And now, once again, we're at a point of we have to make it our business now to carry it further. Now, here I want to take this discussion to the next step and really come back to the Michtav Me'eliyahu that we mentioned. That Michtav Me'eliyahu described in full detail what we sensed was going on at the time as a harbinger of the Geula. Now, once again, the same way we don't want to start, pinpointing very precise reasons that call for very, very precise courses of actions, we also do not want to declare the Geula as coming tomorrow night, as coming next week. This is something dangerous. The story is told about one of the Gedolei Ador in America, who somebody approached him and said that a non-from Jew approached him and said that he wants to suddenly start keeping Torah mitzvahs in one fell swoop, because he was told by people that Mashiach is mamish coming like next month, and he wants to be ready. So I don't know if this is authoritative or not. I heard this told about Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said to the person, Mashiach is not coming next month. But you know what? It might be a good idea to start doing this, doing that, slowly anyways. So afterwards I asked him, why did you pour cold water over it? And second of all, Mashiach is not coming next month? And that you could say with authority? Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said, of course not. He said, this person wants to become from overnight on the premise that Mashiach is coming next month. Now, either he is or he isn't. If I say that he's not coming next month and then he does, I will very happily admit defeat. No problem. It's fine. And the person, once Mashiach is here, the person won't have much of a problem with it for much longer. But if Khalil, he doesn't, and therefore, Adrab, I hope he will, and I will smile graciously and say I was wrong. No problem. But what if he doesn't? Then where will this person be left? Now he's going to go back to his previous way of life, knowing that it's all false in his mind. And therefore, we have to be very careful. And therefore, I want it to be clear. It has to be clear that this is not what we're discussing here. But we cannot get away from the fact that we live with that focus. If we are Jews, we are saying every day, Ani mamin b'emuna shleima b'vias ha-Mashiach. And therefore, we should view every day as heading in that direction. Now, let's come back to the Michtav Meliyahu. Oh, wow, he set it all up, he described it all as the preface of Mashiach, and then it didn't happen, so apparently this was not that process. Maybe it'll happen again, and then we'll see Mashiach come. We have to note a very subtle point in that Michtav Meliyahu, which is really the point. And this ties into a very, very fundamental thing in understanding the process of the Geula. Michtav Meliyahu said, he didn't just say that there's a certain magic formula, the world will fall apart, the world will start disintegrating, and then Mashiach will come because that's just the way it works. He explained that there was a certain profundity behind it. And he said that the purpose of that is to bring people to a realization, to be able to see through the facade of Olam Hazeh, and to be able to come to a true consciousness of Ein Oid Milvado, as we've been discussing, of Hashem as the Balabais of this world. When a person moves into that real zone, when a person in his mind is moving into a world that is dominated by Hashem, and that's what he sees clearly, he does not see all kinds of facades where it seems that we're in control of this, we're in control of that. Then, the more that consciousness grows, the more we are setting the stage for Hashem to really reveal himself. And this is the idea. Let's set aside the Geula for a moment, because in a sense, that is not the point of what we're discussing. We have to understand that at the end of the day, as far as we're concerned, first and foremost, before discussing what Hashem is leading it toward, and before discussing whether yes, Geula, whether not Geula, yes, Mashiach, not Mashiach, the first thing is, where are we getting ourselves? Because we want to know, as far as we're concerned, that if the Geula does come, that we're going to be in shape, we're going to be presentable, we're going to be ready for it. So therefore, first and foremost is, what is it doing for us? If we move into that zone, if we move into a place of Ein Oid Milvadoi, if we're able to carry that back into an Olam Hazeh, maybe going back to Olam Kimin Hagenayeg, We are heading there. We are heading there. Because the main question is, are we living in that zone? When enough of us are living in that zone, and to enough of an extent, that will be reason for Hashem to complete that revelation before. This is how Rav Dessler explains elsewhere the concept of that the shofar of Mashiach confounds the shofar of Rosh Hashanah confounds the satan. It says that we blow the shofar of Rosh Hashanah, it confounds the satan. He thinks Mashiach is coming. So everybody has straight away, come on, the satan is, we all had experience with the satan. We know that he's very, very wise. How does he fall for that every year again and again? Avdesla says he's not falling for it. He has a clearer picture of reality than we do. When the Jewish people are in a place of Hashem Melech on Rosh Hashanah, and when the Shofar provides for the Jewish people, that brings it to that level of clarity, the Geula has actually been moved forward a very significant step. And it is imminent. The world is moving into the zone of Geula. World is moving into the zone of Gilui, to the zone of revelation, because the revelation is actually happening in our mind. And that frightens the Satan. He knows better than us what he's scared of. He knows it very well. It's coming from his deep perception. And therefore, we come back to our point. I thought I saw this in the Ramban, I could not find it now, but this is discussed in the Kadmonim. That yes, when we're talking about Hashem's Gilui, it is liable to be a process of giving us a glimpse of it and then saying, okay, now, can you weather the delay? Can you hold on to the senses that you gained? This all might be a certain process, a refinery. You have been through things that should have brought you to certain realizations. Now, before we move on to the next step, whenever that next step will come, none of us are trying to twist Hashem's arm. We can't do that in any way. But the question is, have you acquired that realization, that consciousness? Are you going to carry it further? No, we should not be going back to square one. We should be moving into a period that's past this preparation stage. We went through a preparation stage, or talk about it in other terms. If we do not, again, I'm using the Geula as a reference point. But let's say it's not going to be in our lifetimes, Chas v'Shalom. If we will have moved through the rest of our lifetimes on that higher zone, in that zone of realization, we will have lived our life at a completely different level, and our life will have been a life of a different level of accomplishment. Is that not worth it in and of itself? This is really the point. That's really the point. Let's utilize these experiences to take them further, to begin the next stage of our life, wherever it's headed, on that elevated plane, living in a world of Ein Oid Milvadoi. And here, this of course, does connect. If we're talking about not missing the point. So yes, we want, first of all, one thing to do is to take stock, perhaps do this around the Shabbos table. Take stock of, do this by yourself, do it with your family. Take stock of can I pinpoint specific points, realizations, improvements, refinements that I've gained through these months and lock them in. Rejuvenate them, lock them in. All these months in the home, our home has been put through quite a process. Have I gained more patience? Have I gained the ability to tolerate things that I would have thought impossible? I don't want to lose those precious things. If we're moving back now, Taka going back into shul, but we should have used these months for a real avodah of Aniyu Beisi Navodas Hashem, that our homes moved into a different level. Can we lock certain things in to carry with us further? And of course, yes, we have to come back to the point of now that we are re-entering the shuls. Perhaps this is another step of the process. Are you capable of moving back into the shul with a real sense of what it means to be in a makam hashchina? This is also something precious to utilize. We've discussed in the letter, we're not going to get back into the discussion of practical, of the broad practical steps that we should be taking. But this is an opportunity for all of us. In a very, very profound discussion of the classic question of what's the purpose of tefillah, if Hashem anyways knows what we need. We're not going to get into that whole discussion now. But in a very, very profound discussion, there is a sefer called Yifei Toyar on Medrash Rabbah, which is a very, very chush of a sefer. He has sfarim on like the areas of Chazal that we usually don't reach. This is written by Reb Shmuel Yaffe from approximately the 1500s. On the Midrashim, on the Yerushalmi Agad, on Yerushalmi, etc. And he has a very, very profound discussion where he talks about the famous answer to the question of what do we need tefillah for? How does it work? Hashem knows what we need anyways. And where the classic answer, we all know, he talks about a very great length and a very great profundity about how the purpose of tefillah is to move you closer to Hashem. And there's a lot of bracha that Hashem is waiting. It's not that you convinced him to change his mind. You daven hard enough, you convinced him to change his mind, and therefore I'll give it to you. No. If through tefillah, he has bracha waiting for you, but he's dangling it a bit higher than you are. If you can move yourself closer to him, higher up, you'll find the bracha there. And that's really the purpose of it. It's for you to move yourself closer to him. This is a famous theme, but he goes ahead and develops it in a very, very lengthy and profound way, showing how many of the things that we view as technical halachas of tefillah are all exercises of gaining real awe and reverence for being around Hashem. And he says that there are so many different details of what we do to approach davening correctly that we do unconsciously when you view it as like halachic technicalities. But designating a specific place and then going to it is already an effort that we make toward Kvod Shamayim. That's an end in and of itself, right? We know the famous halacha that if there are two shuls around you, it's advantageous to go to the further shul because you're going further, l'chvayt shamayim. That's why I, Baruch Hashem, pass a number of shuls on my way to the Beis Tefila. And the efforts to get a specific amount of people together. Further, think of these as efforts that we're doing. We're making a big deal. We're making a commotion about the fact that we are approaching Hashem. And you have to wash your hands before you daven. Again, it's a technicality. You shouldn't have dirty hands. No. Think that what I am doing now is, once again, I am making myself presentable to Hashem because I want to approach Hashem right. These are all activities of Kvod Shamayim, of Yiras Shamayim. Let's think of them as such. Going to the bathroom before you daven and making sure that your body is in a clean state. But the Arizal says, the Gemara talks about how going to the bathroom in the morning is part of Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim Shlema. You want to accept upon yourself Ol Malchus Shamayim in the greatest way, you go to the bathroom in the morning. The Arizal says that this also is an end in itself. It's an activity of purifying the zone of the Shekhinah. He says that going to the bathroom in the morning is the equivalent of the Avoid of Trumas Hadesh in the Beis HaMikdash. Before the Avodah started in the Beis HaMikdash, the first thing they would do is clear the ashes off the Mizbeach from the previous day's Avodah. So the Arizal says that this is all you should be thinking. You go to the bathroom, you're clearing out your body, you're performing an Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, the Avodah of Trumas Hadesh. Think about that in the way you dress when you come into shul. Think about that in making the effort to be in shul that much earlier. It's not that once Hashem is there, you come in huffing and puffing, but you want to be there earlier to greet Hashem. Think about that with the halacha of moving into the shul. There's a halacha that you should, is exactly differing interpretations of exactly what this halacha means, but that you should not just come in and sit right at the door and daven immediately, but you should move further into the shul, showing that I'm coming in to establish myself here now. I'm not davening at the shul ready to back out as soon as davening is over. I am making a demonstration of this is where I'm putting myself now. I'm putting myself now at Hashem's disposal. All of these different, so to speak, technicalities are surrounding this one central theme of we are going out in so many different ways to show Kavod Shamayim. And therefore, coming back into Shul now can be a very, very essential continuation of that process we've been discussing now. Have we internalized Ein Oid Milvadeh? Have we internalized Hashem as the Baal HaBayis? Now let's move on to the next leg of this journey. It's not going back to where we were. We stepped out of Shul. We went through an intense process of realization of Ein Oid Milvadeh. Now let's move on to the next step of coming into Shul in a renewed way of appreciating a world of Ein Oid Milvadeh, which is epitomized meanwhile in the Shul. And perhaps Hashem is waiting to see, okay, you graduated this step of the process. What's with the next step of the process? We can put all this together as one continuous growth process. Hashem has been putting us through a very intense refinery this year. And as we noted, the whole world has been put through this. But shouldn't be lost on us that us bifrat as a kehila, it seems that Hashem is singling us out. Let's note that. Hashem is telling us, I'm trying to bring the world closer to me. And I am putting a special emphasis on you as a kehila. Hashem is turning to us and saying, I want you specifically. This kehila has brought itself to a place in Hashem's radar, in Hashem's attentions. And He wants us, and in His agenda of pulling the world closer, He's pulling us closer bifrat. We have a special place in that invitation, in that call. Bring yourself closer to me. Let's not miss the boat. Let's not miss that message. Bezras Hashem, we should be zeicha to build on what was and to utilize what's coming to really, as we've been discussing, bring ourselves that much closer to Him, be living in a world where it's transparent, and we see the Ein Oid Milvadeh. I want to end off with a mazel tov to the Sasson family. We'll have, Baruch Hashem, we'll be zeichet to actually extend the mazel tovs this week in Shul. I want to extend the mazel tov now as well. One of the beautiful products of this kehila, and Bifrat the Chosin Yehuda, so appropriate that he is going to be entering his Nisuin Mamish in the days of Kabbalah Satara, in the days of Matan Torah, because he is one of our Dugmois of Torah in the Beis Medrash, a person who is completely immersed in Torah, completely permeated in Torah. And if we talk about Matan Torah, Har Sinai is the marriage of Klal Yisrael and Hashem, for Yehuda Sasson to be beginning his home and to be beginning his marriage at this time is very, very appropriate. And this is a beautiful fruit of a beautiful tree of Jonathan and his chosh of a wife. I've heard the Rav Zatzal Malinowitz hold them up as an example. I'll just give one instance where it came up was talking to me. The Rav was once talking to me about the different kashrus rules in the shul. And he said something like, of course, you know, we could start making it, you know, be individual. There are plenty of people here that we can eat their things without a thought. And he threw out, I mean, for example, the Sasson are going to bring food into the shul. Anybody's going to have any questions about whether it can be eaten? This was just his example. But he was leading up to the point of, okay, but like plug, you know, we have to have a certain uniform on Haggah. So this idealistic family has produced beautiful fruit. Yehuda is one of the shining fruit on this tree. And we celebrate his marriage and his journey as we celebrate Kabbalah Satar in the most appropriate way. Bezras Hashem, it should be Mazel Tov, the Simcha or the Tiferes. A good Shabbos.
Shkoyach, Rav.
Shkoyach, Rabbi.
Shkoyach to you. Kol tov, a good Shabbos, Rabbi Yisai.
Good Shabbos to you.
Thank you.